Hello, everybody. The Mega 64 podcast is back in your home, coming into your television set, your picture radio. That's right. Yeah.
We're back, everybody. Consider this the beginning of a new season of Mega 64.
Yeah.
And you might notice some changes around here this time around.
Yep.
Yeah. Specifically, we got rid of one person.
Yep.
Elephant in the room, new season, new cast, no Sean.
Yep.
Who needs him? He was, you know, not essential personnel in these times.
Here's the timeline, first of all.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He started doing the separate, you know, show like this. His connection was poor, to say the least. Was like watching the movie Crank through a Game Boy camera. It just wasn't. You couldn't do it.
Tough.
So that was part one. Then he pays to get a faster connection. Ooh, okay, it looked better. I'm watching this guy. I'm checking in with him every day. His house keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh. He talks about living in, I mean, he didn't want to say hellhole, but he meant it, hellhole. He talked about it. But every day he's showing me his pool. He's got a water slide now. He like expanded his backyard where he has like a theme park there. And then his internet kept getting better, and he paid more and more and more. His internet's so fast now, it made ours look bad. Where's the teamwork?
Neverland Ranch going on in that backyard now.
And it's honestly making me think, like, is there a pandemic or not? This guy's getting richer.
I saw Sean install a 5G tower in his backyard.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't even going to say that because I didn't want to start anything. But, yeah, so we don't need that. We don't need that energy
here. What's that about?
Sorry. So
yeah, so he's gone.
Yep. Enough said.
For all of those reasons and more.
Yeah.
So all I'm gonna say is R.I.P. Sean, and we'll leave it at that.
While we were talking about that, I got a notification, and I really thought I got a message. Like my watch started going off a bunch. And I thought, okay, Sean is watching. He's not on tonight, obviously. We weren't joking. But I thought maybe he was messaging us during that whole bit. Like, oh, you know, he's watching. I guaranteed it was that. I checked. It's from Apple TV. And it just is letting me know there's a new Westworld. What the fuck?
Yeah. What's Bernardo?
That's never happened
to me. That's really nice of them. Because, you know, in this current climate, in this hard world, you might be so busy. You don't know what's on HBO tonight, you know, because you got so much going on.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know.
They're doing me a favor.
I don't think Apple needed to, like, tap me about 80 times to let me know there's a new Westworld. But that's Sean cool. In the chat, by the way. He's watching, so I'm glad that.
Is he really?
Yeah, he really is.
Well, how does that work out? Why isn't he just here then? He's clearly a part of the show tonight. Hello, Sean.
He said he wasn't here because he's like celebrating an event, but he's in the chat. What kind of celebration is that?
I don't know. A horrible celebration.
What celebration has a chat room? Come on. Anyway,
our chat is the most miserable place on earth. This is the last place you would go to celebrate something.
Exactly. This is I don't know what's going on. We're not getting the full story.
I might ask him about it. What if I ever get to see him again?
Listen, I'm never going to talk about him again. I want to talk about Westworld real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, are you digging it?
What? I feel like we have a moral obligation. I'm sorry. Theme song.
I'm a lonely horse. Got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides the lonely horseman. Got my gun at my side. I'm just trying to be the lonely horse.
Okay, so
are we back? I'm sorry. I know you want to talk about Westworld, but during that theme song, I had the time to think about something. Why is Sean not on the podcast right now? I understand during normal circumstances, I can't come to the studio, guys. It's Sunday night. I have stuff to do. But he is already at a computer. Just turn the camera on.
I had a similar thought, but from a different angle. I'm sitting here right before the theme song. I said, he won't be here. He's at a celebration. What a celebration? There should not be a he's going to celebrations right now.
Maybe it's under 20 people. What's the limit now?
Yeah, man. All I'm saying is he's literally in the same spot he would be on any other podcast night. He just has the webcam turned off.
At home on the computer.
Yes.
Interesting.
So
turn that camera on, bro.
This is unfolding very interesting. Okay.
Let us see the birthday party or whatever, graduation or spiritual ascension or whatever's going on. Let us see.
In this current, in this trying time, in this most uncertain time, we're in this together. There should not be any guests except for virtual guests. And so then that puts me in a headspace of, we're not good virtual guests. Like, why can't we just, he doesn't have to even like sit around, turn the camera on your little party.
Yeah. Hold on. Zoom
with us. Hey guys, I've got an incoming call. Sean just asked me to put him on speakerphone. So,
okay.
I don't want to interrupt the show. What? I was just saying, hello everyone. Sorry, I can't be there. I'm taking up Jenny's birthday dinner. And so I was just waiting for the food to be ready before they dropped it off in my car. So I tuned in to see how it was going.
I'm about to
go celebrate right now. I'm driving back to my house so we can have a big Outback birthday dinner at home. I just wanted to, I was watching. You know, you're my friends. I want to see how it's going.
He's
so
going to restaurants.
That's the story. Not very exciting. And have a great show, everyone. Sorry to interrupt God. Very rude of me.
Wow. Okay. Thanks, Sean. I'll do with that what I will.
Just want
to. All right, that
I hung up on him.
Wonderful. Hey, everybody, we got Sean on the show. We did it. So complaining worked. Let that be a lesson. The squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Well, you know, I just kind of thought we were all supporting local businesses during this time.
Outback, huh?
He might be the old local Outback. We don't know.
Well, some of us go to church when it's convenient. Anyway, I was just going to say about Westworld real quick. I don't want to go on forever about it because I don't think anyone here is watching it. Brian's running the show remotely tonight, by the way. He's on a distant planet far from me. Are you watching it, Brian, or no?
No, I'm not watching it. I've only watched the first episode of the first season.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a little behind.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I've dug it. I've liked this. It couldn't be further from the West at this point. There hasn't been a Cowboy 1 in the season, but it's more about like tech industry this season, like algorithms and tech industry shit. So I like it, but whatever. Anyway, the season just started. There was a few episodes, and then they had a preview the other night that was after the episode. It went only 3 episodes left. I'm like, didn't this season just start? Like, it's 2 years in between seasons. And I was kind of like blown away. Like, after all that, we only get a handful of episodes. Like, normally it's at least 10. But then I realized I think I've had the same complaint every season of this show, which is, yeah, that didn't need to be 10 episodes. So I had to reset my expectations. Like, oh, yeah, they're probably making a good decision. Yeah. But then again, I was looking online to see if anybody was talking about that. And then people were like, oh, last time HBO did a short season. So I don't know what to think, but
less is more.
It's pretty good as it is. And yeah, Westworld was short and they did the whole show in like 8 or 9 episodes. So
I have a prediction. I think Westworld is going to get the Rome treatment.
Yeah.
Where HBO is just going to cancel it abruptly one day.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. This season in particular has seemed abnormally expensive. Like, it's in like Future City and shit. You know what I mean? Like, when it was when they were doing normal Westworld stuff and it's in the West, you know, I mean, as well as I do, there's a million Old West sets they can go set up at. Easy. Yeah. But yeah, it's been in like cyber future fucking Tron City. And I had the same thought. I thought, man, if this doesn't pay off, this is going to implode. And I know a lot of people that have dropped the show this season.
Rome was the most expensive show of all time, actually.
What's that?
Rome was the most expensive HBO show of all time.
I remember hearing about that, yeah.
And they canceled it after the... I think after the first season, they decided to cancel it, but then they said, well, we spent so much money on this, make another season so we can get some money back.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, that they did another season, and I want to say they let a movie or something shoot there too. They did a bunch more productions just to get something back on their, like, get a return on their investment. I heard that too, yeah. That's really interesting. Well, we'll see what happens with this, but I know a lot of people that are like, I don't even resemble, the show doesn't even resemble itself, I'm not watching it anymore. I've dug that, and I hope they do like one more batch of episodes after this and just end it. I don't think they need to do like a lot, but shorter seasons is probably good for it, but I'm enjoying it. Whatever.
I started kind of watching, you know, filling myself in with some sporadic season two, and then I think I saw most of the end of season three, and then I've started watching this new season.
Season three.
Okay, so yeah. I guess I started in the middle of season two. Finished.
I think
that.
You watched a season of a show and you didn't know what it was.
I think that I'm going backwards and forwards. It's like Lost. But I'm really liking that show. Or like season two of Westworld. I do enjoy that future aesthetic more so than where the show was. Because I like watched a few episodes here and there, wasn't really interested. And then I've sat down and gotten sucked into this new setting in season three.
Yeah, I think these...
I think they had a season of Eastbound and Down mixed in there. The directions threw them off.
Yeah. They start... Well, they kind of cross over at one point. The robots turn on the humans and basically they look at humanity and say, you're fucking out, I'm fucking in. And it starts to get, it's hazy.
They gotta go down to Tijuana for some shit that's robot shit. It's cool.
I think I nailed the bit.
That show, Eastbound and Down, that thing took a nosedive.
Yeah. When did it? Was season two good? Like, I'm trying to remember. I really thought season one was funny. Like,
I thought it came around in the last season, but I think there was like a middle season in there where they lost the main love interest, the teacher that he worked with, that I thought sucked. But then she came back for the fourth season.
I thought it was great, man. And then I just fell off. It got like too wacky. He like fled the country, was living in Mexico.
That's the last I saw, yeah.
What?
That was the last one I saw. That was season two.
Yeah. I stuck around for that. And then later on, I remember I don't know. There was an episode where he was like running on the front lawn of a plantation and they were shooting cannons at him. Yeah. That was my last thought and memory of that show. Like, I don't think I could do this anymore.
Yeah. You know, it's really hard with comedies. You really can't have those go on forever. I was just talking with I saw my mom and dad the other day and they were like, they looked like ghosts. I was like, first of all, I'm thinking, I hope they weren't infected. That was my first thought. And I asked if everything was okay, and they said, we just watched the Modern Family finale. I was like, I thought that shit ended a long time ago. And
is that a recent thing? Did it end this season?
It ended like last week.
Oh, 14 wow. Seasons? Who knew?
14 seasons. And yeah, they were like, what a waste of a fucking hour. Like they look like their soul was sucked out.
Wow.
And they loved that show. I thought that show was pretty funny for a couple. I mean, when it first aired, it didn't seem like it'd be my thing, but I was like, oh, it's kind of funny, you know, but that was a long time ago. I don't know if I would think it was funny now.
Yeah. How do you end a comedy? They're all lighthearted, but an ending is sad. You know, you want to give it this heartfelt ending or something meaningful.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the, you know, the eternal, like, conundrum with wrapping up your comedy series.
Yeah.
What did Seinfeld do? Didn't they all go to jail?
They all went to jail, and it was an episode where, like, every, you know, memorable character from the whole series, like, came back to testify against them in their trial.
Because they were kind of shitty people in the end.
That was the final episode story.
But I don't remember that being a good final episode. I remember being a kid even and going, it wasn't hard to live up to.
I know diehard fans of that show that hate that finale. I don't know. I have no horse in this race. But
yeah, how do you?
Everyone hated that finale, especially when it aired at the time. Yeah. I don't know if the opinion has changed as the years have gone by, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to end a comedy.
I just remember when that was going to air, there was a lot of hype, and I thought maybe that kind of played into it, because people, if you remember, like, people were making up insane theories about what the Seinfeld finale was going to be, which even then, I didn't watch it back in the day when it was airing. I didn't watch it, but even seeing people's predictions, oh, we heard it's going to be like almost like an episode, like they're going to have a dream where it's going to be like the Wizard of Oz, where they meet all the characters and, oh, they're going to bring back this thing. And I remember even back then thinking, this is a show about nothing. Like, they're not going to do this elaborate. Like, people were talking about it like it was going to be a new Star Wars. And I was like, I think you're going to be disappointed. And sure enough. So maybe that played something into it, but.
No way. Soup Nazi came back, though, bro.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, mind-blowing.
I remember, as a kid, I watched Seinfeld, and they announced that the show was going off the air before the final season even started. So it was a huge ordeal, the final season of Seinfeld. Yeah. With every episode that they aired, they would count down how many were left until the finale. So they hyped this thing up for, like, 10 weeks.
Yeah, they did.
And then it was like, oh, yeah, they made fun of a guy on the sidewalk and went to jail for it.
Yeah, it was weak. Yeah, it was weak.
Yeah.
But they ended that, I think. Yeah, people were saying in the chat, I wasn't aware at the time, but that was one. It seems like they ended it before people were tired of it, is the impression I got. 9 seasons still sounds like a lot to me, but. Yeah. It seems like people were still into it.
It was
right?
The number one comedy in America.
Yeah.
It was the number one show, I'm pretty sure, in America. And Jerry Seinfeld said he'd rather go out on top than go out on bottom.
Yeah. Did you ever see the video of him talking with Larry King about that?
No.
On the Larry King show? Larry King was asking him questions. I don't know why. Jerry Seinfeld came on for something, and Larry King was like, all right, so... You had a sitcom, you know, classic sitcom. So what happened? So you were canceled or what? And Jerry Seinfeld is so offended by that question. Just canceled. Larry, do you know anything about 30 million viewers? You don't know anything about this? Canceled. You thought we were canceled? I mean, go look up the clip. Jerry Seinfeld and Larry King. It is the best interview because Jerry won't let it go. And in fact, I like Jerry Seinfeld. I do. But it does kind of reek of like, Jerry, calm, let it go. But he won't. And he keeps grilling Larry King about it. Just, you thought we were canceled? Number one show on TV, we're canceled?
Larry King's so old. And that's an old clip. And he's still going with like online content. And he's just getting worse and worse.
It is really bad. Yeah. But that was the era when he was getting, like, people were telling him to, like, maybe you should get off CNN.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, he told Sharon Tate or someone related to the Manson family he was interviewing.
Probably not Sharon Tate.
And it wasn't Sharon, no. But it was her sister, her brother or something, and he was referring to her as one of the family members, like Twiggy and the other kids. It was like, whoa, no.
Oh, yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
we're gonna find out who that was in that interview.
Maybe it was Sharon Tate. You don't know.
Hey, Larry King. Well, Larry King probably thought it was. Hey, good, man. But anyway, yeah. Speaking of stuff to look up on YouTube, you know, I love watching news. You know, interviews like that, awkward interviews, stuff like that. Sometimes when I'm working at the studio, I like to go down rabbit holes, you know, with stuff like that. Like, I might watch that clip, and then I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to look up awkward Larry King interviews, and I'll put those on while I work. So, you know, just, like, weird rabbit holes like that. Or, you know, maybe it's not even something funny. Maybe it's like, you know, maybe I just watch Tron, and I end up putting on, like, Tron press interviews from that era when the movie came out, and I just have those on while I work. You know what I mean? Just weird kind of rabbit holes to go down. I went down a bizarre rabbit hole while I was working on projects this week here, and I don't know what led me down this, but somehow there was a recommended clip of Kiss, the band Kiss, in my YouTube recommended. I don't know why. But that led me down a rabbit hole where there was an interview of them talking about, like, the two main dudes from Kiss.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley opened a restaurant.
Okay.
called Rockin' Brews. They have a chain of restaurants. And it just took me down interviews of them talking about, like, they've opened like 20 of them. So there's interviews in every city where they talk about opening the restaurant. And I kept going through playlists of them because all of them, Gene Simmons will like share opinions on something that are totally not appropriate for the interview.
Of course. So probably just, like, sexual opinions, I'm sure. And yeah, how to pick up women.
It's just interviews where all of them are the same, where they'll be like, you know, hey, we're in Huntington Beach and we just opened a new Rockin' Brews. I'm here with Paul Stanley. Hey guys, yeah, I'm going to show you how to make a pizza. I love making pizzas for my family. And then they'll go to Gene Simmons. Now, Gene, you're involved in this restaurant. What do you think? And he'll be like, well, you know, we have hardworking people. We have a great menu. The clientele here is great. Not like those drug addicts out there. You know what they need to do with the drug addicts is send them to Alaska and, let them go watch The Revenant and see, what those bears will do to them up there. That's what they should do with the drug addicts. Like, okay. And newscasters will just be like, okay,
Gene is so fucking old now.
Did he just discover like somebody in his family was a drug addict moments before this interview?
I don't know, but they'll say stuff like that, and the interviewers will be like, "Yeah, I'm hearing that." Well, anyway, your guys' beignets are really delicious. I really like the salads. You know, they're just trying to enjoy the food, and then you know there'll be one in like Albuquerque. Oh, we just opened one at in Albuquerque. Gene, what do you think? I think it's great. You know, sometimes you have to take a stand on what you think is right. Just like these pedophiles out there, we should cut their penises off. It's an incurable disease. And, you know, and we're taking a stand for a great, we're making good food. We're tired of this frozen garbage. And it's just like, where is he getting this stuff? I've been enjoying, if you want entertaining stuff to watch if you run out of material, watch interviews with Kiss talking about Rockin' Brews. There's about 80,000 of them on YouTube from every city. Addicts. They're the number one. I know a lot of facts now. They don't freeze any food. It's all locally sourced food. Ooh. Over 100 beers on tap, and they're the number one restaurant per capita at in LAX.
Wow. Per capita. Oh, yeah. What does that mean? Like revenue stream?
I don't know.
There's like four of them in each terminal.
There's two, and I think
that's it.
If you divide it up, there it's the most successful airport restaurant maybe ever.
I think he kicked out Ace Frehley a couple times from the band for drugs, so he must really hate drug addicts, and he's willing to even fire.
I think he's bitter that they didn't send it to Alaska and The Revenant wasn't out. You know,
I think those two guys stayed sober and got rich and famous, and the other two guys did drugs and got kicked out of the band.
Yeah. At this point in the current moment, I don't know which side ended up being cooler, but that's up for the debate at home.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't know. Gene Simmons cool? Is he? Who knows?
In the in the chat, there's a lot of people disappointed, I gotta say, right now that we cannot go to the Rockin' Brews in LAX.
Oh, no.
But I do think I was just gonna say, domestic flights are still going in some capacity. Are the restaurants open?
Yeah, gotta get food while you're at the airport. Takeout only.
I didn't even think about it.
You have to eat it on the plane. It's the only rule.
There's only 87 beers on tap, though, now. So I had to cut back.
Hey, you know, I watched recently that documentary, Decline of Western Civilization, Volume 2.
Hell yeah.
The Metal
the
Years.
Metal Years, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a rock and roll documentary about, like, hair metal in the 80s. Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley are in that documentary, too.
Really?
Gene Simmons is not as entertaining as he sounds in these restaurant interviews, but Paul Stanley is... He does the whole movie. He's interviewed from a bed with the camera bird's eye view above him. And he probably has like seven women like on him, fawning on him the whole movie. It's amazing. And then he's like, great. He's the most arrogant guy in the movie. Everybody's like, yeah, you know, I had to struggle hard. I had to, you know, sleep on floors, really work for this lifestyle. And then it cuts to Paul Stanley in a bed full of women. I don't know. It's the greatest lifestyle in the world. He just want to tell you don't be a rock star, but I'm not going to say don't be a rock star because it worked for me.
That's the attitude they, him and Gene Simmons have in a lot of these interviews that I've watched. Talk about, like, you know, people will be interviewing them like, oh, wow, you know what I think is so great is you're bringing music to people and you're bringing rock music to people. And maybe people bring their families and they haven't heard this stuff and maybe it'll be a good experience for them. And they're just like, well, good luck to these new bands. I don't know what's going on now. Of course, Nirvana destroyed music. So we're trying to bring them something that... they can relate to. Of course, it worked out for us. Good luck, anyone else. They do kind of have that, like,
that arrogance. That's the Gene Simmons arrogance.
He did say Nirvana.
Oh yeah,
killed rock and roll.
Remember that line in The Wrestler? You know, it was all good when Guns N' Roses were tearing up the streets in Los Angeles, and then a little pussy Kurt Cobain came along. You know, like. Hard rockers, like long fucking Hesher butt rockers, hate that grunge movement and that whiny Seattle takeover that fucking ruined their economy.
He said that they took they took the spectacle out of rock, and he said that's why rap got so good is because they kept it and they were like, you know, they had like gold chains and they got all these crazy cars and they got all this stuff.
Can I just say, I think my favorite genre of music might be butt rock. Whenever somebody brings up butt rock, I can't help but laugh. I know exactly the kind of music you're talking about.
But I almost didn't want to use that colloquialism because I don't know if that's like, is that a San Diego only thing? Or is that known as like, dude, if you listen to Metallica and like Aerosmith and fucking Van Halen and... And you got,
I don't know, you know, we saw the Aquabats a few months ago and they had that band People Mover open, which is a Sasquatch band.
Yeah.
It's three guys made up like Sasquatch. I was trying to describe it to somebody and they're like, I know, it's butt rock. I get it. Yeah, butt rock. I know. And I was like, okay, this is the thing. Yeah, you get it.
I enjoyed that band. I thought that was great.
I like some butt rock.
People Mover is awesome, and I like the mystery and story behind People Mover because, you know, their true identity is a mystery, and people suspect they're actually a really famous band in disguise because they came out of nowhere, got a record deal, are touring, have like a fan base. They're so injected into the music industry with like no album released, no concerts played. So people are like, those guys have connections. That's like... The theory out there is that it's the guys in Brand New. Unconfirmed theory, but, look it up for yourself, guys. The People Mover conspiracy.
You know, somebody's saying this in the chat, and I do agree with Tasty Popsicle. I think that's what their name is. I don't know what it was, but I think they are Daft Punk. I agree. I think they're similar. Because
let's ask Sean's dad.
They got masks, and then one of them has, like, the voice rah, rah, thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
If they're not Daft Punk, they should definitely collaborate. I mean, they have the whole, you know, mystery. They could swap. Nobody would know. Daft Punk dresses up like Sasquatches. People would put the robot helmets on.
Yeah.
It could be amazing.
They should combine. You got electronics, you got rock, and they should call their group Mysterious Fucked Up Voices. Because you don't know who they are, but they all run. You know?
Vocoder. The Vocoder Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked People Mover, I thought was like an entertaining show, but what really I really enjoyed was, we were all there for the Aquabats that night when we saw them play. Sean brought all his kids, and they absolutely passed out by the time the Aquabats showed up. And Sean was carrying his daughter asleep over his shoulder. And when People Mover came out, they came out to like take pictures with people, and they absolutely like zoomed right in on that. They were like, oh, we got to get a picture. So there, Sean has a photo of the entire band, like, you know, just out like that, these giant monsters while Sean's kid is asleep. It's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny photo. But anyway, that was a good, That was a good concert. I enjoyed that. I missed concerts.
Yeah.
And Rocco, concerts, your man. Childhood friend, Jacob Turnbloom, played that show as well.
That's right. Jacob Turnbloom was the opening act, and I really did go to like grade school with him. It is the weirdest thing. What a small world. Like, we go, like, been a fan of the Aquabats forever. They put on this big concert, and that guy opens up for him. And you did a music video for him.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. And that is a beautiful segue. Ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. not only did I do a music video for Jacob Turnbloom, but I released a new music video yesterday. If anybody out there wants to see it, go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Gustafo. And you can see the new music video for my best friend, his band, Sixes. Y'all know John Wanzer from, well, he acted in, what was that, version 2?
Yeah, 2, and he was dead in 3. But
he was the dead wizard in version 3. You're all familiar with John. I did a video for his band maybe like a year ago, 2 years ago, but we just put out another one. And yeah, I did that video for Jacob. I think Jacob's music is really, like, objectively good. I'm not just saying that because he's our friend and, you know, you've known him for so long. He's a really talented musician.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I wasn't super familiar before I saw all that. And it was great. He's a really talented guy.
I like that music video a lot. Both of them. The Turnbloom one, but the new one for the Sixies.
I haven't seen the new one. I saw that you had posted it, but I haven't watched it yet. So I don't know I can't review it. I'm sorry. I hope
well, clearly that speaks to the rift between you and I.
Yeah.
That is so obvious. And you know maybe what? If you followed me on Instagram,
yes.
you would see the
well, you know what?
Multiple oh. posts I've been putting up advertising this video for the past 72 hours.
That's how I saw it. I saw the ad on Instagram.
You know what? I'm going to fire it back. I'm going to fire it back because you know what? No, I didn't watch your music video, but guess what? I bet you didn't watch what I put up. That's right. No. I acted out the entirety of The Godfather.
Oh.
I skimmed.
I streamed it.
I wanted to watch it. I just couldn't, you know, block 3 hours. See? I'm proud of you.
Equal. Equal footing. All 3 hours done even better than the movie. Because the movie, they're limited by the 70s.
It's true.
Technology and the acting and whatever. I nailed it. I made that script sing, and I'm just kind of wow, didn't even watch
I it. Heard you were better than Pacino, than Brando, then
together
who's Sonny, what's it, then Khan. You outdid the Khan man.
Outdid Khan.
I'm
Bobby
not,
B the
you're
the
like all in one man, and you're I'm funnier not, too. It's unfair.
I'm not gonna even. I feel kind of douchey even addressing that. All I'm gonna say is, Brando's gone and I'm here.
I did hear, because I didn't watch the video, but I heard through the grapevine, your K was not very good.
Oh.
You did not do Diane Keaton justice at all.
Wow.
And
I mean, that was just constructive criticism.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I mean, not every production's perfect, I guess.
But I heard the when they beat the sister with the belt, I heard you nailed that scene.
So oh, okay, thanks.
Congratulations.
See, I didn't think I did that great in that scene, but I definitely think the baptism against the mob hits. I was happy with. I was happy with
now,
that. But I don't know about that.
Leave the gun, take the cannoli. For somebody who said that so many times throughout your lifetime, I thought there'd be a little bit more passion and emphasis put behind that line.
The way I see it, it's just another day for him. So, you know, I didn't really want to like.
Okay,
so you made it real.
Like, milk it, you know.
I nice. Liked your Luca Brasi. I thought was on point.
Thank you.
That's one I heard you practice a lot.
Are you gonna do Godfather Part 3 next? Are you just gonna skip to the good one?
I might. I'm debating it, but no. I was thinking when I did it. I did it for a stream because I thought it'd be fun, and I thought reading through the script would be a lot faster than watching the movie. I was wrong. It was flat 3 hours. It wasn't any quicker. So I want to do part 2, but man, that's like a three and a half Man, I don't know.
I've heard that Francis Ford Coppola meticulously overscripted those movies. Like, everything. You probably got, like, a script that was adapted from the film, because I've seen a picture of the actual script, and it was like a book like that with notes and pages and stuff.
I have that. I have the actual book. Like, I have the physical copy of it, whatever. And yeah, it's like a billion pages.
Is that one? Is that the one you read from?
No, I read one online that was like, oh no, this is purely the transcript from the screen. And I was like, okay, cool. But it was still a lot of details. And what was terrible was they added all these extra scenes that are only in the, they did a different edit of it for TV at one point called Godfather Saga or something like that, where they added deleted scenes and made it like a mini series across nights. But like, there's notes about all those scenes in there. So it was really hard to get through it. It's like, wait, this scene, I don't want to read this scene, 'cause that's not even in the movie. Oh, I don't want to read. It was a whole mess. So it was hard to like get through it. So it was quite an obstacle, but I don't know. I did my best. I tried.
I want to read a movie. I want to read a movie with you.
Table we'd read.
We'd have to do like a badass movie, you know?
Yeah.
Start a new podcast.
We need two new powerful characters to go back and forth, you know?
We'll do Glengarry Glen Ross, and I'll be the Alec Baldwin character.
I haven't seen that movie.
Dip out. Yeah, you've never seen that, huh?
No.
That's one of the only, like, really good, like, actor movies that I bring up that you haven't seen. I think any other one that I would bring up, you've seen them all, but I'm always surprised you hadn't seen that.
I know, I should watch that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to do a table read of something. We'll have to do, like, Die Hard and I'm Hans Gruber, or you're John McClane.
That I'd watch that. That'd be good for you guys.
I wanted to do like 2001 A Space Odyssey, because I feel like reading that would actually, that one would actually be done in like 5 minutes. I feel like.
Yeah.
It'd be like.
Oh,
it's all description.
Somebody in the chat, Young Fossil says Lethal Weapon. I could be Danny Glover and you could be Riggs, Mel Gibson.
Now, see, that's one I haven't seen. I've never seen any Lethal Weapon.
You get Sean to do Joe Pesci there in for the sequels.
Are those good movies? Are those any good?
Yeah.
You should watch the first one, definitely.
90s, you know, action films. They're good. They hold up. Buddy Cop.
Yeah. I never really like, I don't know anyone that was ever like all about them. I never heard anything.
You know, I don't think I've ever actually seen, I remember the only thing from the first one is he lives in a trailer on the beach. And in the second one, Danny Glover flies off a toilet from a hotel and lands in the pool.
Mel Gibson is like a loose cannon, you know, bad cop, unhinged, and Danny Glover's straight-laced, you know, buddy cop film. I don't remember what the crime is they're trying to solve.
It's probably like there's a bad cop on the force that's like, you know, they got to
say it's like drug dealers or something like that, gangsters or something.
But they got to go up against their own or something.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, check that out, because we're going to do the script. So.
Okay. All right. I'll watch it. I mean, I've been meaning to, I want an excuse to see some of these classics anyway. And now that I got that American movie crap out of the way, I got to find something, you know?
So. I know. Of all the movies to watch when you're on quarantine, that's like the last one.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many better films to insist your friends watch.
He kind of did watch it last, you know? Have you seen anything since then?
Since that? Oh.
Yeah, like a film?
No, honestly, you know what I've honestly been watching? I feel like I don't want to like tire anyone out on this kind of stuff, but they put out the full, for the first time, of literally all the movies. They put out the Star Wars box set that had all of them.
Oh, okay.
Like in 4K and all that shit. So I've honestly been making my way through that and watching all the extras. But I feel like I bring up Star Wars on here so much. I mean, it was more so when Galaxy's Edge was open, but I've been making my way through all of them and watching the extras. Like, oh, okay, I'm gonna like actually watch the behind the scenes shit, even from years ago that I probably haven't even seen since like high school.
Documentaries and
it's so funny because like most of them are pretty much what you expect. But oh my god, I watched hours of behind the scenes documentaries on Attack of the Clones. And it is not one bit of it is talking about the story. It's, I think, front to back, all just like, look what we made. Yeah. It's them, like there's an hour and plus about, okay, how do we make Yoda so he's not a puppet? Okay. Oh, look, this looks better. Yeah, I really want people to think we used the puppet, but then we tell them, guess what? We didn't use a puppet. Okay, well, that might take another 6 months of developing this. Okay. And it's them coming in every day. Okay, yeah. Oh, it's them. Oh, look, his jump cycle looks really good. Okay. Well, let's work on that again. There is nothing about the story or what it means to them or anything. It is literally all like, check it out, digital stuntmen. That guy fell off that thing. It's not even a real person. I mean, it's all technical. It is the most boring shit.
Oh, like the movie.
It just goes to show you where their priority was. Like, they did not give a shit about the story at that point. It was just, no, we got to figure out. Check it out. Digital camera. Yeah. No film. Nice. I mean, that's the whole documentary.
Looks like there's film in that camera. There's not.
Yeah, that's seriously the whole thing. You know, my job is usually developing film, and I've just been sitting here all day. I don't even know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, how do you drum up interest on a story that's like a political Senate debate and a trade blockade at the core of it? It's like the base material I thought was so dry, and there's such cool moments in episode one. Episode one gets a lot of love for good reason nowadays.
Yeah.
But story-wise, gosh.
Yeah. But I will say, though, I say that it's boring. I do enjoy it from the, like, film nerd or the editing nerd or whatever side of it, where it's like, they really did do a lot to further, like, editing a computer. Editing movies on a computer, you know, just that basic of a thing. Really, they made a lot of strides for that. And seeing the development of digital filmmaking, on the nerdy side is cool. Like, I do like that kind of stuff. But on the Star Wars fan side of things, it's like, wow, they really had nothing to say about, you know. Anyway, so I just thought it was kind of funny. Do you guys see anything else, or
I haven't been like watching stuff, but I have been playing some games. Derek, you got any movies to throw in while we're on the subject?
No, I haven't watched any movies.
Well, we can talk about game stuff, but I do want to do a quick plug.
Yeah, by all means.
Before we get to that, I want to say, as always, thank you to our sponsors, and I want to give a double thank you when we are our own sponsors, which, guess what? We signed a deal to do it again. Yeah.
Wow.
Brian said it was okay, so we did it. Shop.mega64.com is the place to get stunning clothing, incredible media. We're like better Best Buy. We're even more Best Buy. We're best. Better Buy.
Better buy.
I don't know what else to say. Betty Buy, whatever.
And we're not taking advantage of the whole situation. We're not selling masks. We're not fucking you over in that way. We're just, you know, tried and true like we've always been.
Yeah, exactly. So shop.mega64.com is the place to do it, place to get all that stuff. Now, something we've been doing recently is we have a second, in case people don't know, you're watching this and you still haven't heard, we're doing a second podcast every week now. We're doing a live show every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific on Twitch, and then it goes up on YouTube Saturday. And we're calling that show Mega 60 Quarantine, and it's a show we're doing during this while we're all kind of stuck at home. We're doing our best. We just wanted to do a second live show every week. We've had a lot of people ask because our friend Meg made this awesome logo for the new show. And we had a lot of people ask, like, oh, I thought that would be a shirt. Like, when I saw that, I thought you were going to do a shirt. So we thought, you know what? We're all kind of doing this. She did do a great job with that. We got the official Mega 64 shirt. That's our 64-hour special this week. You can pick one up if you want to celebrate kind of what's happening with our second show and you want to be part of the crew. We're going to be wearing this when we work behind the scenes on that show. So that show is up right now, or that shirt is up right now, but the show is every Thursday live.
You got to help support small businesses.
Yeah, exactly. So there's like a way to do it.
Steakhouse.
Shop.mega64.com. And yeah. Mega64 has been fun to do. I've liked kind of like doing this kind of check-in thing every week. It's been a lot of fun. So
it's cool. We've been like, I don't know about you, but I've been feeling the doubled up schedule because we were each of us, I guess, you know, with our personal shows and then the podcast streaming about twice a week, but yeah. We're essentially now, or yeah, now we're doing it four times a week. Mm-hmm. So we've really like stepped it up.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of stuff. It's been really cool. Trying to do a live stream of some sort every single day.
Sure.
In some form.
On Friday, I did an entry for that quarantine con, the Mega 64 song contest, theme song contest.
Yeah.
I ended up streaming for 3 hours. It's like, I don't even know if that's worth uploading, but people stuck around and watched that. Just
people enjoyed
around
it.
With the synthesizers in here. It was fun.
Yeah. And again, in case anybody didn't hear from our Mega 64 this last week, we have a theme song contest because Mega 64 doesn't have a theme song currently. So if you're out there and you want to make like a 15-second or so theme song that we can use, do it. Email it to podcast@mega64.com and we'll listen to them. And we're going to try to pick one this Thursday, hopefully. So yeah, if you want to send one in, maybe we'll pick it. Who knows?
We've already been getting a lot. So
yeah,
we can definitely have them by this Thursday. We have so many to choose from.
Yeah. So yeah, check that out.
We're going to play a bunch of them on the show, right? We're going to listen to a few.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have should. Some.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Show them off. Let everybody out there hear what we're hearing.
Yeah.
Play a bunch of runners up and then save the winner for last.
Yeah. I think that sounds great.
Cool.
So, we'll check that out. But, if you want to submit some, go for it.
Yeah, and make sure you tune in Thursday, 4 p.m. to hear all those tracks.
Yeah, hell yeah. And real quick, also want to say patreon.com/mega64. We've been putting a bunch of stuff on there. We're doing a couple gameplay friend dimension episodes, every week now. Like that used to be bi-weekly. Then it became weekly. Now it's two a week. We've been upping the amount on there and putting out stuff from the vault. Derek, I didn't even show this to you, but we found a video from when we did the Canadian convention like 12 years ago and you called in just to, I'm not even going to say what happens, but we had a transmission from you at that event. I found that that's on the Patreon now. The world needed that. I found other kind of convention exclusive material that's going to go up in the next few days. There's all kinds of stuff going up on there. I'm finding all kinds of nuggets. Stay tuned. Anyway.
Definitely. And you know what? I think everybody out there should remember that Mega 64, we keep our promises. Because what have we always said since day one, going all the way back to 2003, 17 years ago? We are the cockroaches of the internet. Meaning, when the nukes drop and everything else is wiped out, we'll still be here. And I feel like we're really proving that now as, in these trying times when businesses are shutting down left and right.
Yeah.
We, the comedy cockroaches, are finding a way to scuttle into your homes.
Adapt and survive, baby.
Yeah. And I feel personally so happy that you guys are here to watch us. And I like being here to give you something to watch. So thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Check out those sponsors.
Yeah. Check out that stuff. And, and it's an important time to do it too. It's important time to show support because this was a hard week. I hate to be a bummer. I know we're going to get to video game stuff, Garrett. We're going to in a second.
Sure.
There's stuff I want to talk about too.
Yeah. But there's a lot of losses in our lives right now.
There was a few major losses.
Several.
First of all, in one 24-hour period, we had three terminations. We had San Diego Comic-Con was canceled. We've done that like every year since Mega 64 started.
Since I was in high school, I've gone to that single year.
I've been going since I was like 5 years old. Yeah, I mean, my whole life here in San Diego. Gone. Okay. Then within a few hours of that, Anime Expo. canceled. Ooh. Really bummed about that. That particular show, that became one of the biggest conventions that we would do every year. We've been doing panels at that convention since 2006. And then the panels got bigger and bigger. And now that's one of the biggest panels we do at any event. Like we have such a huge turnout there. And then we started having a booth there, and it became one of the biggest events we do every year. And it's really like, whoa, that was the first thing that really hit me. Like,
totally.
I always feel like a douchebag. Like, you know, Sean is calling in every week going, you know, oh, I feel so bad every week. I feel more bummed out. And I'm the one sitting here going like, yeah, my life really hasn't changed too much. Like I'm, you know, I always feel kind of douchey, but
well, don't gauge it by the Sean barometer.
That's
you know,
you never know. That's true. That's a good
point. You don't want to be on that end of the spectrum.
There's the Sean and the Johnny barometer. And then, you know,
yeah, but this is the first thing that really was like smack me in the face. Like, damn,
that started to feel like a home con to me since we've been exhibiting there. We've done the panels for years and it was always huge, but yeah, since we've been running a booth there, that feels like another hometown, like San Diego Comic Con. It's almost in our backyard, you know, Los Angeles, but we've done it for so long now. And
yeah,
that's those two in the summer not happening. That's a total game changer for
San Diego Comic Con. We're like, to be, I mean, it's a tradition for us to be there, and it's a great con to be at because that con is like one of the biggest in the world, and there's a real electricity at it. But being real, we're a small fish in a huge pond there. I mean, people are there to see, you know, when's the new Thor coming out? You know, like we're small potatoes. Anime Expo, it's, you know, obviously an anime thing, and there's lots of big stuff going on in that industry. But somehow we have a big presence there, somehow, at this huge event. And, but for different reasons, both really hurt. But Anime Expo, I have so many friends that go to that. Well, really, both. I have so many friends that go to that. So it sucks in a business sense because Mega 64, like, those are big events for us. But even on a personal level, I have so many friends who come out to those that I'm just like, damn, I'm not even going to see them this year. Like, it hit me on two levels, and that really, that stung. But the third thing that was canceled.
Yeah.
I was especially scared because I wanted to. Garrett was asleep when it was announced, and I was scared that wanted to check on him. Like, is he doing okay? The Evangelion movie was indefinitely postponed.
Dude, and that was the news I awoke to because I got up and I'm like, I got like 50 fucking at replies. What's going on? Like,
yeah. What was, run us through the experience. What was it like? Cause it happened in the middle of the night and I literally tweeted out like, let Garrett have one last dream.
Hey, you were on it first and you were the first, tweet I saw. And it was very nice. It was like, oh guys, let him have one last dream.
Yeah.
And I just went like, what's the attached tweet? Studio Kara has announced that we are canceling the June 27th release day for 4.0. The film will be released coming soon. There's like no date.
And the context for everyone too is, I mean, don't forget, Garrett booked a Japan trip around this event.
I bought a pair of non-refundable tickets. And Derek, answer your phone.
No, I'm turning off the vibration. Don't worry.
Derek didn't know Evangelion was canceled or was postponed, so he's letting everyone know.
I bought two nonstop flights for me and my girlfriend to go on a full, like, two-week vacation. And all around seeing the movie on its release, but also seeing a bunch of other stuff while we're there, moving around, checking out a couple cities. I'm like having a hard time getting a refund on these flights. And I've already tried once. I'm going to try again in May. But the country's got a blockade on international travel right now. Now the movie's not even happening, so there's no reason for me to go.
Oh, yeah, there's no reason. There's no reason. Derek said that when we were last in Japan in October, when he was there, he's like, you know, without an Evangelion movie, there's really no fucking point to being.
No reason.
Remember when you said that?
They're not even going to let you in June. Hey, the borders will be closed.
I know, right? But then they have to give me my money back, but they haven't canceled the flight yet because they don't cancel flights until it's 72 hours before. Then if it's still a travel ban, I guess they cancel the flight and I try to get my money back. But I have to have this 3-day window to work in. But like, don't tell Sean, but I didn't give a fuck that they canceled the Olympics because I just knew like, oh, shit, it'll be cheaper now.
Canceling the Olympics would have made your trip better, Garrett.
Oh,
Like straight up. Sorry, Sean. That was going to be a cluster on the way, you know?
I was fingers crossed that, you know, we open up, you know, beginning of June. Maybe I can still get a refund. I wanted a refund on the tickets anyway, so I could buy, you know, them at half price, which is what they're going for right now. But it could be fucking worse.
Man. Yeah.
I am now, though, hitting that point where it's like, all right, nothing I was looking forward to aside from that Japan trip had been canceled yet. And then all on the same day, Anime Expo, Comic-Con, Ava movie gone. I was like, fuck this. Yeah. Like, all right.
Yeah, I was finally
fuck this moment.
That's my sports. That's my baseball season.
Yeah, this was honestly out of everything, like everything that's happened, everything that's been canceled or closed, whatever. I've had the approach for me has just been like, yeah, we gotta do what we gotta do. I haven't really been sad so much as like, yeah, like, hey, we have to. You know what I mean? I'm just focused on like, what do we have to do? That's what I've been focused on. This was the first weekend that things happened where I'm just like, man, why? Like I was actually like bummed about all that. And then when I was watching I was watching all that Star Wars shit and I got to the newer movies. They just reminded me of Galaxy's Edge. And then I had this wave of like, oh, remember we were all hanging out there? Remember in January we were all there having fun? And then that just added to it. So fuck it all.
I remember being there flirting with the in-character retail worker.
I forgot about that.
When you buy a drink and they'd be like, what system are you from? And I'm like, oh, Earth. You ever heard of it? Little blue dot out on the outer territories.
I'm talking about the stern jail warden who was like, you rebel scum.
Oh.
You better disobeying our orders or you'll regret it. And I was like, make me regret it.
Dude, it was next level being in that park, and it wasn't overtly flirtatious, but being in character with those people in character just added this level to it that was...
Yeah.
What did they got Ryan's face?
There was so much tight leather costuming in Galaxy's Edge, I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
Dude, Chewbacca fucking hugged me tight, bro. He grabbed a piece.
Yeah, they're very cuddly over there.
Remember, Kylo Ren was kind of like getting in on it too.
Dude, can't get that close now.
Nope.
Well, he's got a mask on. Maybe that filters out.
Got to do some Sith distancing. Derek, are you okay?
He's cold.
Derek, are you doing all right?
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I just want to make sure. I don't know.
Cold, bro?
You know, I noticed I have the chat here, and the whole episode, people kept commenting on my jacket saying, oh, it must be cold where Derek is. It must be winter over there. And it started having this psychological effect on me where I actually started feeling kind of cold.
Oh.
So here I am.
I just feel like there was no transition for me. It's like suddenly you were just on Hoth.
Obsessed with the fact that you wear jackets sometimes on stream. I've seen this comment before. It's a very odd.
This is a random question. Very odd. Yeah, that's a good point, Garrett. This is a random question, Derek. And if it's too personal, just tell me to drop it. It's fine. Do you feel like you have
dropped like it.
What?
Now what?
Okay, oh, what? Do you feel like you have like poor circulation or anything like that? I always feel like you have worn jackets at times that no one else has worn a jacket. Do you feel like there's anything different in the situation than anybody else? Or do you, what do you think? What's the deal?
No. No way.
I just, as long as I know you, you'll have thick glasses and none of us will, unlike, or thick glasses, sorry.
I don't know what, I don't know what you're trying to insinuate about poor circulation or
I don't
how
know.
That can even be interpreted in regards to a comment about me or
you know what?
My health or my body operations. But
no, I feel
say,
like you just are.
I'm fine.
I think he's making it a racial thing, I think.
Everything here is working great. I just like, I find jackets comforting. I think it's more of like a weighted blanket. I just like, you know, the comfort of being wrapped up in a full body garment.
It's
not so much about the temperature thing.
It was just brought to my attention. Once again, Tasty Slopsicle, whatever in the chat said, I did wear shorts in Paris during winter.
Yeah. And so, in Boston during winter.
That's a totally fair point.
Maybe you have a hyperactive circulatory system, which is causing your body temperature to rise.
That's what I'm saying. I might have a blood pressure situation where I'm like,
dang.
It really strengthens the argument. Two sides, you know, this really is like Lost, the whole black-white debate. No, that's not what I meant. It's like
no,
two
smoke
sides
monster.
Of thought.
Come on.
Never mind. Forget it. Brian, you ever seen Lost? Jesus.
Yeah,
never mind.
Come on. Everyone has sound effects but Rocco now.
I know. I feel powerless. I feel powerless. Anyway. Garrett, you were going to bring up some game stuff. I sideswipe that.
I mean it's easy to not get too bummed out with all of that hit me on like I guess Saturday morning, because there was so much to play this weekend. Because I finally got Final Fantasy VII and I jumped into that, and I played a lot on Saturday, but I definitely see kind of how you compared it to Crisis Core in an interesting way.
Oh yeah.
But it's kind of what I expected. Like, all right, we're putting our kind of Final Fantasy 15 spin on Final Fantasy 7. But I liked exploring Midgar, and I was really having fun, like, playing with the battle system. But I found myself going like, all right, these cutscenes are cool. Wow, a lot of cutscenes. I want to fight. I want to grind. I want to use some of this materia I'm buying. Like, let me fight some stuff. And there wasn't a lot to fight, and then I was getting a little like, oh, I'm just like still doing side quests. All right.
Yeah.
And it's slow to start, but I'm still, you know, like chapter 3.
Yeah.
It's cool. They're expanding on some of the characters that didn't have big roles. Like we talked about some of the Avalanche characters.
Yeah.
That I like. I'm getting to do, all right, here, we're fighting some stuff. But not a lot of fighting in the beginning of the game. And that's what I wanted to do. I want some turn-based, you know, not even turn-based.
The first chunk of the game. Yeah, the first chunk of the game left me wanting like that. And I think I kind of talked about that before. But
sure, I agree with you, though. That combat's fun, and I want to get unleashed to some enemies. I want to go use it. I want to learn how to counter and parry and do all the shit. But it really was hard to find that when it was like doing all the fetch quest stuff. But I get that's what we're doing. I had to palate cleanse with more. I went back to Resident Evil 3 Remake.
Oh, okay.
That I love.
And you ended up beating it, or?
I this is now my second playthrough, and I'm like whipping through it. I love how linear it is. Just for me, I'm in the point where I want to play a game right through. Resident Evil 2 Remake had so much backtracking, and this is really like kind of a straight shot story-wise. And I think that adds to the replayability, because they added all this stuff where you can kind of buy weapons to use in your new game plus.
Which
I want to. It's the appeal of like, oh, I could earn that, and then I could run through and play again. And I'm fighting in different ways, trying out different stuff. That game's good, and it comes with that resistance game. I played a lot of that this weekend, the online one. I'm not good at that. It plays well. It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't lack in that respect. But I'm just not good. at online multiplayer games.
Yeah, neither am I, so I completely relate to that.
I played a lot of RE Resistance.
That's cool. Yeah, going back to FF7, though, I was just going to say, you finally got your copy. I'm hearing that it suddenly occurred to everyone that, like, physical copies are gone of that game. Like, they're going for a ton. They're, like, going for a ton on eBay and stuff right now. They're not around. Like, suddenly it was like, wait, Amazon doesn't have the physical copy. And wait, Best Buy doesn't have it anymore. Wait. All these places, it was like they had so many or could do so many, and then they are gone.
You know what? This is going to be just like the PlayStation 1. We'll have that good disc that doesn't have the green stripe greatest hits down the side.
I forgot
they'll reprint
that,
them.
I forgot that did happen on PS1. The first printing of it, it sold way beyond expectations. It was gone, and you could only get the greatest hits one for a long time. I didn't even think about that. I have that original printing Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, you gotta.
Yeah.
OG, baby.
I had Sakaguchi sign it.
You know, you talk shit to your friend if he's got that greatest hit strip down the side. Be like, ah. Oh,
yeah.
Not the original.
You're a poser. So you heard this game was good, huh?
I got some of those green strips too, though. Don't worry.
Well, I have Symphony of the Night on PlayStation. I was late to that party, so I only have greatest hits. And then I brought that. When we met Igarashi, brought that. I was like, I got to have him sign something. And I brought that. And even then, it was kind of I think when he got it, it was kind of like, that's the only one you could get, huh? It was like, come on. So there is something, there is a stigma with that green stripe on it. Isn't that funny? I don't know.
Because he knew you bought it used or at a discount.
Yeah. But anyway, I mentioned on the last podcast, I kind of gave my thoughts so far. I played way more of FF7 and beat it. I was going to talk about it on Mega 64 and team, but we ran out of time. I just want to say real fast, I ended up really liking the game. I think it has maybe the most overthought ending I've ever fucking seen. I don't think they needed at all to go where they did for the ending. It was like, you're fine. It was like they had it in their head like, oh, no, this is not going to be enough. We got to add this other thing. And it didn't need it. But up until that, I mean, that the beginning was a little slow to start, and that ending was totally not necessary. But everything in between, I ended up really, really liking. I thought it did, especially when the real important stuff started to happen, I thought they adapted that stuff really, really well. And every time I thought, oh, they didn't include this part. Oh, they didn't do that. Oh, they didn't do that. It's not that they didn't. They found an interesting way to subvert it or remix it in a way that it was interesting and not just regurgitating. So I really liked it. I just didn't think they needed to do the ending that they did. But I put up a whole like hour-long video where I talked about it on my personal channel. So if that doesn't sound like a total hell to you, like, you can go watch it there. But that's all I think I needed to say. I just wanted to
touch back. People like to hear your detailed thoughts on that, because you really have the first, or the original, I should say, fresh in your head. I'm like playing this for the first time again, because I barely remember playing Crisis Core.
When was the last time? When was the last time you played like the original game?
Ooh. I mean, probably when I put it on my Vita or my PSP, probably just on the PSP before the Vita. And I played it, but I didn't get deep, you know. I probably didn't get past where the demo ends on the rebuild. Mm-hmm. So my first and only playthrough, I got, you know, right to the end. But I don't think I've ever actually finished my game save, my PlayStation 1 game save.
Yeah, it's funny. If you pull, I didn't even think about that. Like, my original game saves are probably still on my PS4. I didn't even think about that. How you could PS3. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I definitely ported my memory cards over to the PS3.
I forgot that you could transfer all that stuff over. Wow. Anyway. But yeah, I talked, I did a whole like spoiler discussion thing. It's on my personal channel. If you just look up Rocco Bodie on YouTube or whatever, I just felt like I had too much shit. I didn't want to go on and on and on and hear about it. Like, I already have, but it's full of spoilers. Cool. So if you want to watch that, it's on there.
That's like when we did that Eva spoiler cast for those movies.
Yeah.
That were like 4-hour insane hey, rants.
Garrett, when you beat this game, and if you at any point, if you want to talk about it, I mean, it doesn't have to be as long as the Eva video, but you know, if you ever just want to like hop on stream and talk about it for a minute, I know people would be down.
Yeah, maybe for one of these extra weekly shows we do.
Yeah. So
all right.
I'm curious to see what you'll think of the rest.
I want to keep an open mind and keep going through it because I am having fun. Yeah. You know, I'm definitely aware of some differences though.
Yeah, I was really bitter in the beginning, but I think it's just everything that you brought up. It was just a lot of like all the stuff. I feel like all the stuff they added in the first parts weren't really adding much. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you've added material, but is it significant? Is it that interesting? But as it went on later, they did a better job at that. So
I'm thankful.
Around.
I guess I'm thankful that a lot of it's a tutorial as well to kind of teach you, like, here's where you're going to buy your items. Here's how you're going to do this. Here's how you're going to equip materia, you know. But it's all kind of interweaved into the story. It's just very, you know, like, wow, we're really running errands for the first 3 hours of this game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I did find ways to like, I also don't know how many side things I had to do in the beginning because I did realize that sometimes when they ask you to like go do stuff like, oh yeah, go, why don't you help some people out? A lot of times you can just like run to the next destination and it'll be like, are you sure you're going to skip all those? Yes.
Yeah. So, that's true. I'm playing my way, which I did every side quest. I found every fucking cat in.
Oh, well, I forgot it was. Yeah. I forgot that's what you do. Yeah. So,
I'm doing everything right out the gate. But that being said, I just needed, you know, I needed to switch up and play something that had action in it. Cause I just wish there was a part where I could just go grind right off the bat.
Yeah.
Just go try out the different weapons, try out the different materia.
Yeah.
Learn the fighting system. Cause each of the characters plays so unique. It's like an action game. It feels like a Devil May Cry where you can't jump when you're actually battling.
Yeah. It was really fun. Like playing as like Tifa and stuff. Like they gave her, she felt totally different in a lot of ways. And I mean, she has like a shuriken. Like it was cool. Like I thought they did a great job with that.
Her midriff.
And that too.
That's all.
Yeah.
Derek, you got to check it out.
Nice. I don't know. I mean, will I like it? I've never been a fan of a Final Fantasy game. I don't know.
I mean, it's very different than the other ones. So you might. And it's got, you know, it's pretty straightforward compared to the other ones. So
I enjoy that it's a lot of story. Like so far, there's like, wow, there's a lot of like, I can kind of set the controller down and watch these two characters have dialogue in this cutscene.
Yeah.
You're watching a lot. It made me feel like I'm watching, you know, Spirits Within or something.
I think when it sticks to the main script, like not necessarily like, oh, it sticks to exactly how the old one was, but when it sticks to like the main important story, it's at its best. But I definitely do think a lot of side stuff and even some of the main stuff in this game does feel like, oh shit, if this isn't 30 hours, people are going to be mad. It does feel like that to me a little bit, but that's not to say it wasn't fun. But it's not that long. I mean, comparatively, not that long. You might like it, Derek, but I don't know. I really don't know. It's also fair. What's that?
Probably won't play this, to be honest.
I think there's a level of like kind of doing shit on your own that you like in games, and I don't think this will like give it to you. I think I don't know.
Yeah. You'd be better with a new XCOM or something.
Yeah, get instead of Final Fantasy, get the new XCOM.
Maybe. Honestly, all week I've been playing Lonely Mountains Downhill, which is like the smallest little bike riding indie game. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm happy, you guys. I'm glad you like your big stories and your market, your Walmart from the future or whatever it is that everybody's raving about.
Oh,
hell yeah. We got pristine first print copies, Rocco. Pimp status.
That is cool. That is cool.
It's funny though that you mentioned XCOM because that was literally Sean was here the other day to pick up something, and he told me, oh, what was it? He was telling me, no, we were talking about we mentioned Final Fantasy's hard to find, but the Switch is like impossible to find right now.
Right.
The system is like sold out everywhere.
Yeah, everybody's stocked up for the shelter in place.
I think people are looking for stuff to do and they're not really making many of them right now, I guess. So anyway, he had mentioned to me about, he said, he's like, yeah, I think I kind of need to look into getting another one because the whole family is using just the one. It was like, oh man, that's got to suck. Like everybody competing for time for like Animal Crossing, whatever. But he said, oh, they want to play that Rabbids game. And I'm like, oh, because I heard the new, it's Mario versus Rabbids. I heard it played like XCOM. Like I heard it wasn't just like a stupid
strategy.
Really?
Yeah, that the gameplay of that game, like it got good reviews because they say it plays kind of like XCOM, but a more family friendly version. And I said that to him and he was like, basically, I don't give a shit what XCOM is. I don't know what it is. I hate those fucking Rabbids. Anyway, it was just like, I was sitting there like, yeah, why did I use XCOM as something that I thought would win Sean over? Like, Sean, it's like XCOM. Ooh, I didn't know that. Like, Sean is not going to care about that. So
XCOM rules.
Sean loves French humor. He loves the little rabbits and the noises they make. It's kind of like Minions. He loves those incredible Minions movies. What are those called?
Minions?
Yeah. Gru. What's Gru. Incredible?
The Minion movies are known as the Minions.
Yeah, what was the first one called? It wasn't called Minions. It was called Incredible Gru or
Despicable
something.
Despicable Me?
And then there's Minions 2.
Despicable Me. Yeah.
Is there Minions 2? Is there? No.
Oh, yeah.
Minions 2 not out yet? I thought we were waiting for one. Minions 3.
Minions 2 not out yet? Like, that's just coming any day now. Yeah.
It is. That's is in the fucking works. Minions 2, work. The it's Rise not out of yet. Gru.
Minions 2, The Rise of Gru. Is that, did that come out?
Yeah.
No, it's got a 2021 release date.
Oh, okay. But 2021, yeah.
There's
sorry.
A trailer. I saw a trailer for it. He's like a kid in like villain school or something.
Oh, okay.
Minions.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
That's all I see when I see rabbits.
Because Minions are just about falling off, and it's time for them to come back. You know, they're not as popular as they once were 2-3 years ago.
Banana.
Ah, Kevin.
He's the cutest. Kevin is the cutest Minion. He's the one with, he doesn't have one eye. That's all I know.
Nice.
What could be the worst possible pop culture thing to come back, in your opinion? Something that took over the world that was so annoying, you couldn't get away from it. It's finally gone. You're happy.
Ooh.
Yeah, is it Furby? Is it Minions?
ICP.
Is it Macarena?
Ooh, that's a good question. Hmm. Minions were bad, but I know there's got to be a worse one. I'm seeing what people in the chat, because I know they'll remind me of something. People are saying Baby Groot. Pickle Rick. I thought Pickle Rick was pretty fucking terrible, but that's come around.
No, it's still annoying.
Pickle Rick always had a layer of irony to it.
Pickle Rick has come around because now they're like, the meme is that how so fucking funny it is.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Like somebody paid
but
the guy who played
that even.
What's that?
I hate seeing that even.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Somebody paid the guy who played Master Chief to do a cameo or something, and there's literally a video of him going, I kid you not, he becomes a pickle. Funniest shit I've ever seen. And I thought that was funny. But.
See, I thought that wave of tweets was obnoxious. I was just over. Don't even mention Rick.
I could hear. I could hear that. Yeah, I hear you.
But that's what gets to me. I guess that's my vote, too, I guess. That's recent, too. There's got to be.
Pickle Rick was pretty bad. There were people just tweeting, Pickle Rick. Like that was just like funny on its own. Like that.
When we
like,
were younger,
oh,
that was the like I killed Kenny. You know, you bastards.
Yeah, that was pretty bad too. I remember South Park.
I don't
really
want that to
up.
Come back.
What's that?
I don't want like talking like Cartman in Homeroom to come back as a fucking common occurrence in my life.
I remember having I was on a Washington, D.C. field trip when South Park blew up, and every single kid on the trip had a They Killed Kenny, You Bastards shirt. And that's all what anyone, you know, any kid that you talk to. I couldn't talk to anyone on my trip because you'd talk to them and they'd be like, respect my authority. And they'd be like, all right, I don't want to talk to you. I felt like more alone than ever on that trip. But I mean, I loved history, so I still enjoyed the trip. But
damn, it's really sad.
It was sad. It was South Park did that to me.
I felt more alone than ever. on my Washington, D.C. trip.
It really, because every kid, because none of my friends from my school went for some reason. Other kids from my school went, but they weren't my friends, you know, so I didn't really know them. And then I'd try to meet with them and they'd be like quoting fucking South Park. And it was like, I'm good.
Are there little dumbass kids still doing Fortnite dances and stuff? Is that still that, I guess, can't go on? That might have died out.
I think that's over, actually. I don't see the Fortnite dance thing anymore.
That moved what's quick.
With the Fortnite dance stuff, I mean, don't get me wrong. That was like, whoa, geez. But I kind of feel like that was something embraced by, that was like the kids were doing. Like, how do I describe this?
Yeah, you don't want to be too much of a curmudgeon. It's just kids dancing. They're having
fun. Don't get me wrong. I don't give a shit about a Fortnite dance. But it was like something kids were happy and excited about, so it didn't bother me. Now, it's funny because Minions, you would think, would be the same thing. But Minions were embraced by like an older audience in ways that were like, oh my God, shut up. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like
Minions was all like mentally challenged moms.
Yeah, it was a lot of like memes on Facebook that were like, it was like old people were posting Minion memes and it was like, please don't do that.
It was like DeviantArt slutty versions of Minions with like a inspirational quote above it. And it'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
40-year-olds on Facebook.
Like paint a room without opening the windows. You know, they just huff all the Humes and they're like, I love these Minion movies. That's my impression on the Minion audience.
I watch them when I babysit my 3 granddaughters.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my 30 granddaughters. Yeah.
They're funny.
But Fortnite dancing, I felt like it just felt like, hey, this is the kids' thing. Let them have fun. I don't know. That's how I felt, but I don't know. That was kind of where I sat with it.
And Fortnite, you know, I like Fortnite. I played it. It was fun.
Yeah. It's not my thing, but it's not a bad game. I don't know.
You guys were shocked that I thought Five Nights at Freddy's was a children's game, because I kind of think that about Fortnite too. I've never played either, so maybe I should open my mind.
They're both highly influential,
right?
Informative, mature games. Five Nights at Freddy's is terrifying, and Fortnite is the new COD.
Yeah, and as someone who wants to be like a well-rounded and cultured gamer, I should not be so hard-headed, and I should check those out.
Fortnite is legit fun. That'll be my quarantine. And it's really fun.
Does it count if I play the cell phone version? Because that's intriguing to me. And I had fun with PUBG on the cell phone version for like a good 6 months. I played that.
Yeah, I guess. I've never played a cell phone shooter before. How does it even work?
Dude, it was like, you know, the virtual controls that like an iPad game will have, like a virtual D-pad thumbstick and then like tap in the corner for shooting.
Okay.
Just like that. And then you tapped on screen to, you know, change whatever weapons or reload, jump.
Well, I say, go for it. Awesome. People in chat saying, you know, it's a little split in the chat. It's fine by me.
But I just always thought of those as like games that didn't interest me because I don't like, I guess my aesthetic bit or complaint with Fortnite is it looks too cartoony. So I don't want to play
That aesthetic it puts off a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people that are like,
I don't want to play a shooter where people are wearing fucking pink bunny costumes. Just like not appealing. I want like the world to look realistic graphically. I want like Resident Evil 3 to run.
Well, yeah, I mean that is the aesthetic. It's like EDM, bubblegum, violence. You know, it's like Bugs Bunny with a machine gun.
Yeah.
I should try that out. And then Five Nights at Freddy's is like I just figured that was like a jump scare kind of thing.
It is. But I think if you did it on like a stream, I think it'd be really fun to watch because it's super simple. You're just controlling security cameras and nothing can move if the security camera's on it. So everything happens like off screen. So that's the game mechanic. And then these things are like coming to kill you. But, you know, you're just always trying to look for them to protect yourself.
I think we'll do that sometime on a future PPS then. I know like Brian and I are going to play some more Steam games. Five Nights will probably be. There's like 300 versions of that. I'll look for the first one.
First for like $2.
It would be kind of fun though. Yeah, Garrett, it would be fun to see a couple PPSs where you finally break down the barrier and play Five Nights on one and
Fortnite
on
the other. Yeah, let's fucking try it.
You know, do it. Call it like, you know, like you're, you know, this is your chance to really break out on the front page of Twitch. You know, it's kind of like.
Step up. Steal that ninja spot.
You should have a themed month where it's like, take ninja down kind of thing, you know?
Remember that, though? Like, I always avoided the tropes as a streamer. So I never wanted to play games that were super popular with streaming. Like,
yeah.
There was a couple years where it was like Slenderman streams and Five Nights streams were like YouTubers and streamers were known for just doing that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Imagine
like,
if you had found that success back then.
Nah, brah. Keep it indie. Keep it with the Mega 64.
Derek,
too
stop
cool for school, man.
Stop with this whole success talk, please. Like, we're not really feeling that.
Yeah, I got to be true to myself.
We studies and found out the most popular thing everybody wanted to watch, what was making a ton of money, and we said, that's the last thing we're going to do.
That's a cool business plan, right?
I know some people that, like, I swear to God, like, built their streaming career off of, like, Happy Wheels. Like, they just played Happy Wheels.
Yeah.
And, again, like, there is a certain something to be said about, like, delivering, you know, something that people want to watch. But man, if all I did was come in every day to play Happy Wheels, I would have gone insane. Like, I feel like I would have broken.
Well, and that's why on the PPS, I've always just been playing games every week that I would normally be playing in my life. So they're my games that I'm primarily a console gamer. So they're my either new or retro games that I just feel like playing because I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm making the stream for y'all to watch, but also I don't get a lot of chance to sit down and play games. There's definitely years where when I started the PPS, it was like that was the only time a week I would get to play. Shit would just be so busy with work and everything that I forced myself to sit down and play for an hour every Wednesday.
I have to say, just while we're talking about the poorly played stream, because you know we don't always get to bring it up on here, I honestly think one of the, if I had to like make a list of like the funniest moments or hardest I've laughed in my whole life, one of the top five I really think would be when you kept dying at the end of Resident Evil 5.
Oh yeah.
That is like one of the happiest times of my entire life. Just sitting in the back and watching you die on that part over and over. And it really is like, I
think about snapping and yelling at Dr. Ryan in the chat.
You're over 10 seconds, by the way.
Platform, then it's over.
You're well over 10 seconds. I mean, what kind of a lawyer do you think you are?
I regret that.
Yeah.
I regret getting heated and having my gamer moment on stream. I was like, Brian got mad at me. I was getting mad at him. I was fucking over.
Yeah.
That boss fight, man. Oh.
I don't know what it was, but that was like the funniest fucking thing I'd ever seen. And
that's a good VOD.
I was just flashing back to that. I want you to play another difficult game so I could sit in the back, you know?
Well, you know, the Resident Evil stream coming up this Halloween, or I guess Metal Gear in the summer first, but one of those will probably hit me with a boss, either the summer stream or the October one that kicks my ass.
What Resident Evil will you play this year?
God,
where are you at?
I guess 7. Because
we should finish 6, but we're not going to get into that.
We finished most of 6. 7, I guess, or I don't know, to be determined. Who knows? Okay. But that'll be on Halloween. Before that, though, it's Metal Gear 3 Snake Eater. So really looking forward to that.
Cool.
In the summer.
I don't want to see you play good games, though. I want to see you play another one that.
Oh,
I want to see another one that breaks you.
Any game he plays is not a good game anymore.
That's true.
It's going to be like it was for Resident Evil Zero, which was just like, we're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
That's why lately I've been trying to pick games that have like quick kind of multiplayer games too. Like that Resident Evil Resistance is good for that. But hard to do the show and play a game at the same time.
That's a good point. 7 was already beat on PBS. That's a very good point.
Yeah, we've had it beat, I think, a couple times. I think Dr. Ryan did a one run, like 2-3 hour speed run. But that wasn't me, you know.
It would be cool to see, like, revelations or something. Well, whatever. You come up with your own plan, but
we got some tricks up our sleeve. Me and Brian have been scheming.
Did you hear the Resident Evil 8 rumors? Have you heard about all those?
Yeah. The first person kind of European setting.
Yeah, supposedly
hallucinations.
A big departure. Yeah. Like in Europe, first person in Europe, and you're seeing like witches and shit and like weird people. Like I'm not hearing zombie stuff about this.
I want witches. I want European witches. That's up my alley.
Yeah. So we'll see. Anyway, I know we're over, but I wanted to see what you were, if you had heard about it.
These other remakes like are great, and I got plenty of zombies in my life again, and we're back in Raccoon City, and like it's fucking great. The variety of all the different zombies in the 2 and 3 remake are fantastic, and I'm getting my fill there. So yeah, take me where 4 took me again, and have weird creatures, weird monsters. Look at how many like cool bosses came out of like that setting.
Yeah,
like that Wolverine knight dude, Dr. Salazar, the guy with the chainsaw. Like you got such unique bosses and like enemy characters that aren't just umbrella monsters. Like, yeah, get weird with whatever 8 is. I'm all for that.
Sure. Yeah, I am too. I think 7 was a great game. I had to play it during the day at the office while everyone was around. But other than that, it was that was a really well done game. So
the rumor is it's Chris Redfield is the main character.
Supposedly. Well, supposedly.
What if you make a Resident Evil where it's just like an office simulator? You work at Umbrella Corporation. You have to make all these like menial, boring decisions. Like, oh, where are we going to test this model of the T-virus? We can send it to Spain or we can send it to Africa. And then you get to be the guy who controls where all these outbreaks end up happening.
Oh, yeah. You're the one that pushes the button. That'd be kind of scary almost. Like even in the way things are right now, like, hey, you can launch an infection. You're going to be the one to do it. That's kind of like, ooh. Maybe that'll
or all this, like,
be like civilization.
You know, behind the scenes drama happens. Like, oh, Johnson, you're going to get fired for this. Like, no, we'll cover it up. Just send it out to this village in Africa. And then you see why all this shit goes bad all the time. It's corporate politics.
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
And then at the last level, they're like, you know what? We've sent one over here. We sent one over there. What place haven't we sent one to? Hey, last weekend, I was just at the wet market.
Oh,
and as soon as they say that, you start to go, oh no, tell me they're not gonna do it.
Dude, Umbrella Corporation took over a whole town. Didn't they have to nuke Raccoon City?
Yeah,
they did.
There's no fucking political fallout for this.
Oh, they got the government
corporation that destroyed a wholesome American town.
No, they got the government to do it, man. The Umbrella's got its tentacles in the U.S. government. I mean, it's from the top down, man.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is I want a video game about being inside that office. Because, you know, that's where all the excitement's really happening.
Yeah.
Could it play, like, top down, like Civilization? Like, you actually kind of zoom in on parts of the world and drop?
Yeah, it could be a text adventure for all I care. That'd be great. Make it like XCOM.
There's so many Resident Evil spinoffs. I'm sure that's coming, man. That's always an option for the next Halloween stream too.
Yeah.
Do Dead Aim. Do a light gun game or something.
Scared.
Oh shit. What's like the most obscure Resident Evil spinoff?
I have a Japanese game that was a light gun game based off Code Veronica. And I think it's called Dead Aim 2 or Gun Survivor. It's called Gun Survivor 2. I think that's I would classify the most rare.
Okay.
Spin-off. There's a Game Boy Color or a game. It's either Game Boy. Yeah, it's Game Boy Color. It's a Resident Evil Gaiden. It's on a cruise ship. Leon goes on a boat.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You got to do those on PPS. Now, that's interesting.
Kevin's got some rare ones, too. Kevin's got some old, like, carts with the demos of Resident Evil 2 on them from Game Boy.
See that? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Screw Resident Evil 7. We all know that's good. Let's get into the weeds on this thing. You know?
Play some weird shit. All right.
Yeah.
I definitely got it.
Yeah. I think I got a demo disc of like PlayStation 1 games from Comic-Con in like the year 2000, and I had some, I don't know, something famous was on there. I had like a, like the first level of it or something. I want to say it was like Oddworld Abe. I feel like Resident Evil was on there. It was definitely like they were giving out. I thought it was so cool. Like, wow, PlayStation demos at Comic-Con. Like,
yeah,
I got a video game for free, as stupid as that was.
I remember getting that with a Pizza Hut pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I cherished those demo discs. Like, that was a big deal.
Yeah, and I remember, it, like, this just came with the pizza, like, free, and I popped it in. Dude, and it had Tomb Raider, and it was like, oh, my God, dude, she's hot.
There's got to be some weird collector's market for those, like, demo promo giveaways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be wild to pop those in.
For a while there, there was a lot of collectors wanting those Burger King Xbox games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. They did all those different. Wow. Yeah. I only got Sneak King. I didn't.
I got Sneak King was the best. Well, that was the only one I wanted.
It was the best. That's why.
Yeah, I wanted Sneak King, and I wanted. I heard the motorcycle racer was good. That was the only one I heard that was like good. But
Pocket Rocket, Pocket Racer, or something.
Yeah. Something like that. But I know
Burger King should just re-release all of those on a collection. Fuck, that's the HD remake we need. Fuck Final Fantasy VII.
Why haven't they done that?
Well, I think the new Xbox, when it launches, will be able to probably play those because their Xbox discs will still work, right? Is that
a
possibility?
Weren't they Xbox 360?
I don't remember if those were 360 or Xbox. I think they are.
Yeah, I think they're 360.
They got a better chance of working with that.
They're
new
both.
System.
They were on both. Oh, they would work on both.
You could play Xbox or on 360.
You're right. They were compatible with both. Yeah. So there's no excuse. No excuse.
Those will maybe get the 4K port, the patch.
Yeah.
How fucking rad would that be?
They're not backwards compatible. They're not backwards compatible on Xbox One as of now. So they might not be for the new system, but they better get to work on that. Get Burger King involved, otherwise McDonald's is gonna swoop in, dude.
What's he doing right now? His business is down.
Has anybody been to Burger King or McDonald's during any of this shit?
Fuck no.
No. Not worth it. Anyway, sorry, that's it. We could talk more in the after show, but we should wrap it up here because we are very, very over. It's okay. Thanks for watching, everybody. Any final thoughts from you guys or anything you want to share?
Stay safe, everybody. I already shared my thoughts. Thanks for sticking with us, and we're coming at you multiple times a week. Stay tuned.
Yeah, hell yeah.
My sentiments exactly.
All right, well then, I think Johnny's probably editing this week. Sean should, but I mean, he's got parties, I guess. I don't know what's going on there. So, Johnny, if you're editing this, edit with, you know, I tell Sean to do cool shit, and he goes, nah. Which is a cop-out, please.
Nah.
Johnny, edit this on, you know, none of us are going to Burger King, McDonald's. They're probably going to be gone when all this is said and done. So do a Burger King tribute. Like, edit a most badass Burger King tribute to make everyone miss the local businesses. You know what I mean? Like, make everyone really like, I want Burger King to survive right here.